Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and this is episode 114. And as always, I'm joined by Jay Kranda. What's up, Jay?
Thanks for having me. And I'm really getting nervous because we have Kenny back, and he has
again,
Google Glass on. And
with Google Glass.
I'm What's like, up, peeps? I'm so Kenny, how's it going in the church world?
Kenny is the innovation and media pastor, and that title fits you well, wearing your Google Glass. And we saw the pebble a minute ago, and so you've got all the wearables on you as we...
Yeah, it's, I'm trying to become as quickly as possible, as close as possible to a cyborg, right? That's where we're going.
Yeah.
Are you like counting how many calories you're burning right now, just sitting there?
I've got my Fitbit gone, yeah.
So as we're talking trends a little bit and getting the show started, we're going to talk about press releases. And Kenny, you are the expert in that. And in the church world, nobody's talking about that. And so you're going to eager to hear what you have to say about that. But one of the trends that's coming our way here in just a couple months is the Apple Watch. What are your guys' thoughts on the Apple Watch?
I would love to hear Kenny first.
why are you waiting for me, Jay?
Because you have like a wearable already on you. Like, so yeah. Come on.
I've got the cool Pebble, first edition Pebble. Actually, I got to give credit to my wife because she's the one who actually went on Kickstarter and bought it for me as a gift way back when it first came out. And that was when, I mean, who knew about Kickstarter? And my wife is not a technique like me. So for her to do that, kudos to her. But yeah, I think the watch thing is interesting. It's a kind of like the Google Glass. I don't think it's in the final form factor. We've got so much wearable stuff going on, right? Like the Fitbit and the Apple Watch and the Google Glass. And it's just too much jewelry. I mean, I'm not a jewelry guy. I don't know about it. Jay is a jewelry guy, so he must love that stuff. But yeah, the question is, you know, convergence. I think that's what's going to happen eventually.
Mm. Yeah, and for me, the way that I see wearables, you know, specifically influencing is spiritual health 24/7. I think the way, you know, we can control as church leaders, you know, some form the experience on the campus. Obviously, some form we can control what happens in the worship center. However we do that, we can control our website. But, you know, like, how do we speak in and help use, help encourage spiritual health 24/7?
If ultimately, are you talking about like I'd get a shock if I didn't pray in the last 2 hours?
Yeah, it's like
exactly.
A dog collar shock. No, but like if there's a way that we can set it up, and I think we got to think beyond notifications, because obviously notifications is something that can happen on your phone. But are there clever ways to encourage or interact? And I'm thinking more like thinking of robust experiences during a campaign or a series, or thinking about if you're reading along in a small group study or going through it, something, is there a way we can integrate some kind of encouragement or reminder? Because if ultimately we want people to, you know, connect with God through prayer and reading his word, And for us, you know, part of a healthy small group, if those are things we want 24/7 all the time, I think these technology, as I agree, they're not in their final stage. My hope is as more adoption rate, you know, increases, that there's a way we can leverage those things to kind of encourage spiritual health 24/7. I'm not sure what that looks like right now, because most people think of that as a notification, but my hope is there's a better experience.
You know, I've had a lot of people tell me, like, why would I get it? Why do I need it? It doesn't make sense. And I bought the Pebble and I don't wear it anymore, but I did like it. I mean, I did like being able to just look at my watch and see who texted me, or just see an update rather than getting the phone out. So there's a convenience factor, but I think as an Apple guy, you know, people have told me, why are you getting it? Well, 'cause Apple told me to. So I buy whatever Apple tells me I need to buy next. But I think that they are going to take it to another level. Where Pebble is a very basic, you know, introduction to the wearable technology. Apple will take it to another level. One of the things that's interesting about it is the tap system, if you've seen that, where you'll actually be able to feel the vibrations that somebody else tapped into their phone. So there's even the physical connection there, which I think, you know, maybe there's a code almost like I prayed for you, you know, and you get that buzz and the encouragement that comes from that. It's going to be interesting. And I think as church leaders, though, we are going to be even more connected to our congregation 24/7 than ever. And there's always ministry opportunities when we're more connected.
I'm going to start wrapping myself in tinfoil, just going to let you know. So yes. Nobody can bother me, but anyways.
Don't you already do that? I've heard that.
Well, that's, I mean, those are like heat blankets. Let's not get them confused.
But. Okay. Okay. Very good. Let's shift to the conversation of the day and why we have Kenny with us talking about press releases. That seems like a disconnect from the church. Why would a church do a press release, Kenny? Share with us what the big deal is.
Yeah, I don't think it's the tactic itself, but the question that arises is, are you in a holy huddle with your church, or are you external and outward facing? And is your mission really just to serve the people that are inside your doors? Or are you really trying to engage in conversation and really get the word out of the fantastic things your church is doing? Now, the premise is there is that your church is doing fantastic stuff, right? You don't want to have hype just for hype's sake. But you do want to invite people into the fold, and media, press is just another tool, another channel to get the word out. It's efficient, and you actually reach a lot of audiences that you probably would not with the other mediums at your disposal.
So, and we're asking you to give away your secret sauce here. And this is the Kenny secret sauce. What is the process? I mean, what is a unique event? What is a unique activity that your church is doing? What's an example of that? And then take us through the process of how do you create a press release? Where do you submit that? How does this all work?
Sure. The first question I get a lot of times when I'm speaking about PR and the church or PR and faith-based organizations is someone will raise their hand at the Q&A and say, but isn't the press today really anti-Christian anything, you know, anti-church, anti-faith, anti-Christianity? If you mention Jesus, they're just going to blackball you. And my response is no. Actually, it's quite the opposite. I think what the phenomenon is that historically the church has not told good stories. If you tell a sucky story, you're going to get a sucky response, right? If you tell rich, dynamic, engaging, contextual stories that are again interesting to the audience that you're targeting, not interesting to yourself. You can talk about yourself all day to yourself. It's interesting to the audience you're trying to engage. Then that's when the press wake up and they line up in front of your door, right?
So, and I would think a church instinctively is going to say, we've got a vacation Bible school coming up. Let's do a press release. Is that a good tactic? Why not? Because it seems to me that there's not a story there. What is the story?
Yeah. I think it's kind of like what Seth Godin has said about marketing, right? So marketing is not just advertising and marketing, this discipline that happens after you build your product or service. That marketing today needs to start at the genesis of the product development, service development. How do you start to build that into having an awareness that you want to generate some attraction of an audience? And so I'll give you just one quick example. This past year, we had our own Camp Rock VBS at our church, and kids love it, and we want to invite more people out from the public in. To participate, right? We just don't want to serve our volunteers and our own people. We want to bring new people in. That's the historical what VBS is about. And so one of the elements that we were doing, an idea that I brought up is, hey, why don't we do, we do community outreach all the time. That's a part of the DNA of our church. Why don't we help teach the kids to put their faith into action? So at the end of the 2 weeks or the end of the week, do some service project that's larger than life, that invites the kids that are at the camp as well as anyone that they're friends with outside the camp. We ended up doing Guinness World Record breaking event, packaging thousands of bags for a soup kitchen. That became something that's pressworthy. And to put your spotlight on that is accomplishing a couple of good things for me. One, it's putting the church in a positive light, that the church actually is doing something for the community. You don't see those stories often. It's only about backstabbing or some, you know, pastor that's going to jail or, you know, it's all bad stuff, right? You need positive stories. Second is that we're teaching our children to put their faith into action. What does that mean? This is a tangible expression of that. We're trying to show the public that it doesn't mean that we're handing out megaphones to every single child and putting them on street corners. We're teaching our children to be active, engaged in the actual needs of the community, right? And third is this invitational aspect that kids would love to be part of a world record-breaking event. Why not invite your friends? Why not register for the camp, et cetera?
So with Easter coming up for a lot of church leaders, I remember you guys did something very special. I think it was Easter, maybe it was Christmas, but you brought in somebody who investigated, you know, the acts on the cross, and you had like this almost like Lee Strobel like kind of investigation going on, and it was really cool to see. So my question is, with that, was that something that, you know, while everybody was planning out Easter, like you guys, that idea got brought up and you were infused, and that idea was infused to the Genesis, like, this is going to be outreach, we're going to do PR, we're going to let people know so that it's very evangelistic?
Yeah, we at our church, Rich Birch is the operations pastor, and he says, we have a couple of big days. There are a couple of days on our calendar that we tee up for our own people, right? The only way a church is going to grow is if our own people invite others. I can do as much PR and press as I can. That's going to bring people in the door, but really comes down to relationships. And so, yes, we try to assemble big days, and it just happens to be those big days tend to be PR friendly. I'll give you an example. This February, we're doing a relationship series at our church called Modern Love. We're trying to gear up for a big day before Easter, right? So we want people invested in our church before they get to Easter. And so we actually had Tim, our pastor, publish a book. And so even the title is meant to provoke some conversation. The title of the book is You Married the Wrong Person, right? And so it is talking about sacrificial love and relationships and how the quest for the perfect soulmate is just not there. The Bible tells us differently. So we actually are offering this up during the Valentine's season and gotten some press hits and interviews for this conversation piece, just that the culture is setting us up to find the perfect partner. But this church is saying there is no soulmate. And here is the real truth about, you know, how to go about relationships.
I love that. That's such a creative idea. So, like, big picture, like the way press releases work, and correct me where I'm wrong, because most likely I'm wrong. So my understanding is that there's a bunch of systems that people, like reporters, pay to have access to, or they're free systems. And the idea is, with a PR release, you craft some kind of letter and you submit it to different databases, and reporters observe those databases and they kind of pick. And so with that, you know, correct anything I'm wrong, but like the idea is that a reporter is at their desk and they kind of go through these databases to see if any story is kind of pop. So the idea is that you're submitting your church stories in creative ways to appeal to the reporter so they can write something. So like with that, are there different databases that, you know, does this something cost money to submit to? And so, cause I know on a practical side, I know you could pay $5 for somebody on Fiverr to release to post something, but I have no idea what that means. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know what that is. Is that like a database in like China somewhere or Australia? Like, is that something people actually use? So anyways, on the practical side, how does that work, that process work? And then are there, you know, systems right now that maybe an average church can use to kind of get exposure in this
life? Sure. That's a great question. So in the olden days, right, before technology, internet, email, all the proliferation of communications, there used to be these things called wire services, like telegraphs. And so these companies would have direct lines into the press room, and there would be a, you know, dot matrix printer just popping out stories across the wires. That's why AP, Associated Press, those newswire syndicates really came to popularity, because they hired journalists to go out, and then journalists would subscribe, newspapers would subscribe to these services, and then they would get front-hand coverage of local stories. Technology has proliferated, distribution is easy, and so some of those have survived out of status, out of, you know, relationship, et cetera. And so there's some big ones. PR Newswire is Top Shelf, Business Wire. There's some big ones. And then there's small ones. There are niche ones, like ChristianNewswire.com is another one that is covering the religious and Christian world. Those are paid services. And typically what you pay for is what you get. The higher services actually do garner more eyeballs. Just because I can take your service, I can take your press release for $5 and email it to 1,000 journalists, but their inbox is overloaded with spam, right? So it's all junk. And so there is this notion that you need to stick to the top. Now, that said, there's also, you know, free ways to get the word out as well.
And then, Kenny, how do you measure success, both short-term and long-term? How do you know if you see any value? And I'm curious with what you've seen practically at Liquid Church through all these releases that you've done.
Yeah, I think success is on multiple levels. First is across the web, you will see news outlets, blogs, sites pick up your press release, run portions of it, remix it, or report on their own. So from an SEO perspective across the web, right? This is in this world, you got to care about search engine optimization. You will get links back to your site, and those will proliferate over time. And so that's one measure of success. And that's another reason why you should have consistent releases that go out, right? You should be announcing stuff. So that's one. Two, I mean, traffic in the door. Whenever we put out releases, I mean, they tend to line up with a lot of other promotional things we're doing. But we do have jumps in attendance. First-time guests actually come through the door. Third is actually just inquiries and relationships, that if you're able to establish new relationships with reporters with each story and build that personal Rolodex so that you can send them out, have permission to send them new stories in the future. And that's a third way we measure success.
I love how your church has partnered with the community, because, you know, I actually first heard about your church through different stories that were released. So obviously, you know, what you're doing is working, and it's a great outreach. And I love that community. I don't know why more churches haven't thought about, you know, working with the community in that way. And it's very challenging to me and how I do ministry, and like not just thinking of getting things on, you know, Christian type of, you know, websites, but thinking, you know, if we really want to reach the community, if really evangelism is the thing we won't be able to do in heaven, we got to take this stuff seriously. And I just want to commend you for that. For the people that are listening, you know, obviously the way you think is very encouraging. And for, I think, anybody, how could people stay up to date with you, Kenny?
Twitter is a great way to get in touch with me. The handle is Kenny Jang on Twitter. You can put it in the show notes. Assist.me is a site that I'm actually revamping to really start to share some of the tactics and protocols and best practices. So that's another way to get in touch with me. But I think, you know, it's not just myself. It's really trying to find good stories and mentors and reaching out. This is a society and culture at this point where relationships have flattened. If you find a good example of a church doing good work, and not just in PR, I'd reach out to them. I encourage people to really try to make the connections. You'd be surprised how generous people are with their time.
Well, I want to thank you, Kenny, for just sharing your thoughts, especially with PR. I think that's something that we all need to be challenged in thinking more about, especially with PR now. It is linked to social media. It is linked to your web strategy. There is an overarching strategy. I think, and I love what you said about the Genesis thing, that when you're thinking about, especially what your church is doing, all this stuff has to be talked about from the beginning. It's no longer, we're going to do an event and we're going to have a website and we're going to have the PR and we're going to have social media. This all needs to be connected as we're thinking about all generations. So thanks for being on the show. And we definitely will put all links to what you're doing in the show notes. And I want to thank you, Niels, for being with us. And to stay up to date with everything we're doing on Social Media Church Podcast, visit our website at socialmedia.church.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.